The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's a Netball Show with a Flyhawk. This one's a little bit special. The world's best speaking to the world's best. By that, I mean Natalie Morris. She's been speaking to Jeeva Mentor ahead of the Quad Series this weekend. Enjoy.
It's so bloody cold. The thing that probably gets me is the colours. It just seems like a whiteout most of the day. You look up, there's not a cloud, there's not a blue sky, it's just white. And then you get drizzle. And I'm like, there's not even a cloud in the sky for it to drizzle. Why is it now drizzling? But you know what? It makes it nostalgic. And being able to spend a couple of weeks in Bournemouth, my hometown, with my mum for Christmas, and then have the family roll on through, it's been actually really beautiful. And to think I've been away for over 2.5 years, like Liverpool World Cup 2019 was the last time I was back on English soil. Wow. It's been really beautiful. It's been really lovely, very touching to be back and now thrusted back into the English Roses programme.
Yeah, back into it, back into the swing straight away. So how are you feeling about playing on home ground, essentially? Well, English ground for you. How does that feel, and how's it going to feel to be in front of an English crowd again?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I was so impressed with the crowd in Liverpool for World Cup. It was unreal and the atmosphere was electric. And so just to know that our netball community and our English fans have grown, really engulfed with everything we've been doing on the netball journey. And I still feel that even though we've been through a pandemic, you still feel the love across social media and the rare appearances that we've had with international netball. So I think they're going to be as eagerly excited to be able to have not just sort of one international matches, but many international matches, because we've got the likes of South Africa, Australia, New Zealand here on our home soil. So I know they're buzzing. We'll definitely feel it. It definitely gets the nerves going. I'm nervous to be back on English soil and with a milestone game coming up as well. And to have friends and family in the crowd, it definitely adds a bit of pressure and nerves. But at the end of the day, I just look at my English girls around me, the faces, the reason why I play for my country, the reason why I put on the dress to do it for all of them and everyone else there. So that's what makes it super special, and that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny to hear you say that you still get nervous. You know, obviously you've been doing this such a long time, and like
so,
you know,
nervous.
Maybe for the Roses, this is your 22nd year?
Two decades of netball, and from my first game to now, which could be hopefully my 150th wow. netball, like England game, and that doesn't even include my Super League games or my ANZ or Suncourt Super Netball. Every game I step out on court, I just think, because you know how hard you train, you know what you want to do, you don't want to let anyone down, and you just kind of want it all go right. But I think the one thing that I do feel confident in, as soon as that first whistle goes, my nerves settle, because at the end of the day I know what I'm here to do, and I can connect with my teammates around me. So I think if I'm not nervous, I do get worried.
yeah, well, that's good. And it's just, yeah, it's encouraging, and to hear that you still feel that, because I think it shows that you're in the right place and you still love it. You still have that fire for the game, which is brilliant. So the Quad Series, you know, the crowds here, we are absolutely buzzing for it. We have been starved of netball. We've been starved of seeing it in real life. And I think the crowds are going to be absolutely just electric and absolutely raring to go for it. What are you hoping for from the Roses as a whole, but also, you know, from your defensive units? What are you hoping to be able to put out?
Yeah, I think in terms of the crowd, we're hoping to really kind of ride off the energy of that. And you often hear about that eighth person on court. And for us, that really is the crowd. And if we can sort of drum up that and get that energy now, that's going to put us in real good stead when it comes to trying to defend our title end of July for Commonwealth Games. But I think I'm most excited about building back those connections again. I've got relationships with the defenders in the team, the likes of Stacey, Ebony, Layla. So it's not just about building those combinations in a circle, but then how that grows with the girls outside in on the wing defense in the center, whether it's Serena, whether it's Imo, whether it's Beth, whoever's playing there. As a defensive unit, I think we really pride ourselves on trying to get ball and working hard for being able to adapt and change things, know that we're not going to get everything, but that fight and that contact that we have with each other and that connection. So that's what I thrive off. That's what I really enjoy. And knowing that, yeah, you're going to get beaten sometimes, but let's find another way to try and beat them now. now. And then the crowd really get behind that and it lifts you again. And there's nothing more exciting. Yes, goals are great to be scored in a game of netball, but when someone takes a flying intercept, the whole team lift and pump up. And so for us as an English side, it's really important that when we do get our hands on ball, we take it down strongly and we convert it. And we've been working really hard on that because we feel like that's probably the difference between us and other teams now. And you look at the other nations, they're strong. They're strong in the gym. They're strong on them, quick on the track. They're good on court, skill level wise. It's all about having that mental edge and being able to kind of convert on the opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I'm biased as well, but I completely agree with you on the glory of flying interceptions. There's nothing better than that. So in terms of your oppositions, who are you most kind of wary of? Who do we need to be thinking about? And what games are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, well, obviously, my most recent appearance with England was in New Zealand against the Silver Ferns. So it was great to be able to play against them under Nolene. I think she's a fantastic coach. I had her as my Sunshine Coast Lightning coach, and she brings a lot of technicality, a lot of tactical play, but also that holistic approach, and really makes her players play for her. So it was good to experience some of her development players that are coming up through. I think the unknowns are really going to be Australia and South Africa. I mean, Australia haven't played internationally for over 2 years now. Yes, a couple of them are my teammates. The assistant coach is my head coach back at Magpie, so I know some of the stuff they do. But in terms of netball, it's really about building those combinations and connections. So seeing what they're like individually, they've got some fantastically talented players and some of the top players in Suncorp Super Netball. However, what are they like playing together and under a new coach like Stacey and obviously Richo as assistant? And then South Africa, there's a lot of names in there that I don't recognize. A lot of the girls that have been either waiting in the wings or come up through completely fresh. And I think some may be playing in Super League in England, so there might be some footage on there. But other than that, they're really an unexpected side, and a side that is going to be our first game out on court. So it's going to be tough. We know they play with a lot of heart. We know we've had some really tough encounters against them, so it's going to be so important that we start strong, because I think particularly with South Africa, they're a side that really power on and take confidence in what they do. So it'll be about getting that edge over them to start with. So three completely different nations, three completely different styles, which makes me think that it is just about focusing as well as much as them on ourselves as well. So making sure that we put out on court what we want to deliver, and we keep building on our journey, knowing that there's a bigger picture at the end of it.
Yeah, and speaking of that bigger picture, how important is this quad series then going forward to the summer, which again, going to be on home soil, and everyone here is ridiculously excited. I think we're all still living for that moment back in 2018. And obviously we want to see that being defended and see that joy on court again. How much is this quad series going to kind of be a kind of benchmark for you guys going forward and working on what needs to happen to get you there?
Yeah, the quad series is going to be massive. I mean, there's probably two-pronged approach to it. Logistically, what it looks like for us as teams now in this ever-changing landscape of COVID protocols, what that looks like for nations flying in and what they need to be able to make sure that they can exceed and perform at the highest level. And then on the other side of that, it's knowing what these teams look like. What are their combinations like? What is their style like? Not just with players, but under coaches as well. And really making sure that this is the last time that we're going to come up against each other and see each other before a Commonwealth game stage where it's do or die. It's, you don't really get second chances. So it's so important, everything we do now and put out on court, and not just put out on court, everything that we do in the lead up to that is basically money in the bank for preparing us for Commonwealth games this year and a World Cup next year.
I'm just so excited, and I think everyone's going to just be looking to see how those combinations are working and kind of, you know, who, especially like the lot of new players have got a lot of young talent in the squad, and seeing who's going to be vying for those positions, I think that's really exciting. What is the feeling like in the Roses camp at the moment? Is, you know, there's such a nice mix of experience and youth there. It must be great to kind of learn from each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't envy Jess and the selection panel with picking this side. It's actually really bloody tough. And what a great position for England netball to be in, to have a real strong, not just 12 anymore, but almost up to sort of 20, 22 athletes to be able to select and really bring in. And I think, yes, we've got a core group of experienced players that have been there, done that and achieved, potentially from 2018. We've also got some really tenacious, exciting youth that have come up through that are lifting that group as well. So it's going to be a real hard blend to see what we need, what's going to be able to counteract opposition teams, what's going to be able to put out the sort of the Roses way in terms of what we want to deliver. So yeah, I absolutely do not envy the selectors with trying to pick a team, but I trust that they'll pick the right team to be able to deliver on the day. And the one exciting thing that long after, whether it's Quad Series, whether it's Commonwealth Games or World Cup next year, is that England netball and netball in England is in a really good place. And that's what's important for me as well. It's about leaving the legacy and leaving the sport better off than when you first came in. So it's so important that you add value to something you're not just taking away. And yes, we take away great experiences and memories and camaraderie from it all, but we're also putting in so the next generation through can carry that on.
Yeah, I love that perspective on it. And I think that that's such a testament to the sport and to England netball that you feel like we are in that kind of position, given the last 2 years that we've had, which has been such a tricky time for women's sport particularly. So I think that's really, really special. And you mentioned it before about dealing with these new protocols and the kind of travel problems. And obviously you yourself had that awful experience of being stranded. I'm sure you're glad that this travel wasn't anywhere near as fraught as last time. So can you tell me a bit about what happened there and what that was like?
I can look back on the experience now I'm home and safe and made it through it all, and just be very grateful for the people around me. England netball were fantastic throughout it all, and I literally just ended up being collateral damage with England and Australia as two nations were talking, were trying to arrange for us to be able to get over there and play, and it just wasn't feasible with the conditions and the protocols that are expected. So the English side obviously traveling back to England where they reside, and little old me who was stuck in New Zealand trying to get back to Australia found it impossible when countries were in lockdown and there were no flights, no commercial flights going. So it was probably a stressful couple of weeks with trying to figure out how I could get out. I tried the political route, and at the end of the day it came down to a shameless post on Instagram. So social media came up trumps, but it was enough to be able to spark up interest, and the BBC were fantastic of covering my situation. There were a few newspapers that covered my situation, and it just got it out there enough I call it my shiny knight to come through with a chartered plane company to be able to provide that flight for me to get from New Zealand to Sydney, where I spent 2 weeks hotel quarantine before being able to enter back into Melbourne. At the time, it was stressful because although I feel safe, I'm in New Zealand, it's a great country to be in, we've come off a fantastic win, you feel stuck. And to actually feel physically trapped was tough to deal with. So to be able to, I guess, experience that and go through all that, it did have a bit of an impact. But I think as soon as I knew that I'd secured everything, it worked out in the end. And my mum always told me that everything will work out in the end, and be a firm believer of that. Do good to others and others will do good to you. And that's literally what kind of came around. So once I had that return flight, it was a bit of a peace of mind, and it ended up being a bucket list tip because the flight, the chartered plane, was fantastic. The pilot up and served food and drink. It was phenomenal. The hotel quarantine I went into ended up being like a VIP. So I had my own kitchenette and washing machine, the little basics in life you need. So from going from the pits to the peak, it was a pretty phenomenal experience. But it all takes its toll. It ended up being my eighth week of hotel quarantine, and it definitely all takes its toll. So cross fingers, it's sort of a brighter future, and the world is changing. Yes, we keep getting different variants on our doorstep, but hopefully we're able to kind of keep life moving on, because it definitely has a toll on you physically and mentally.
I can imagine 8 weeks of quarantine, that's a lot. I was seeing your posts of having to train and prepare for games and get mentally ready whilst in a hotel room, and I'm just like, that is so stressful whilst also dealing with jet lag and the time differences and things. So you guys are resilient to be able to do that. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and best of luck with the Quad Series. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, very excited too. Very excited to be able to share it with the English crowd again.
All games are going to be live on the Sky Sports here in the UK. And if you're lucky enough to be going, give them a cheer from us.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.